Let's close our eyes for prayer. Our Father, we bless your name tonight. We thank you for bringing us here. We're asking, Lord, that tonight you teach and instruct every one of us appropriately in Jesus' name. Amen. And we pray, Lord, like Paul the Apostle was a good example to the Thessalonian believers. We leaders, workers, as fellowship leaders, will be good examples to members of house fellowships and members of the church in Jesus' name. Amen. Grant us, Lord, the grace to be obedient to your word. And through our obedient example, we pray, O Lord, others too who listen to us, who are instructed through us, they will be obedient to your word as well in Jesus' name. Amen. We thank you because we know you have answered. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Thank you very much. We can sit down. Tonight we come to an important subject, important for you, for me, and for our children, important for every leader, every adult member of the church, whether a brother or a sister, and it's important for our community, important for the whole world. Purposeful commitment to profitable work. We're looking at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, and we're reading from verse 6. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, we're reading from verse 6. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which he received of us. Let's come to verse 12. In verse 12, it tells us, now them that are such, we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. You're going to notice in verse 6 as well as verse 12, the word command. Now we command you, verse 6. And then in verse 12, it also says, now them that are such, we command and exhort. So the passage we're looking at begins with, we command you, and then ends with, we command you. You also notice in verse 6. In verse 6, it says, now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's not talking about, this is an apostle talking, and I have authority, and with my authority as apostle, as pastor, as leader, I command you. No, not at all. It says, this commandment is coming in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's come to verse 12. In verse 12, it says, now them that are such, we command and exhort, look at this, by our Lord Jesus Christ. So, whatever we read in between those two verses, it's the commandment of the Lord. It's an exhortation from the Lord, and it is something imperative for everyone. This is not something we'll say, that's Mr. So-and-so's opinion, that's Pastor so-and-so's opinion, that's Apostle so-and-so's opinion. This is coming from the Lord. Now, as we look at those two things, and it says, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, let's come to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, reading from verse 12. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 12, now it says that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you, and ye in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. You see the purpose why the commandment is coming, the commandment to work, the commandment to labor, and the commandment to shun idleness and to come into industry, real work, profitable work. It is so that the name of the Lord will be glorified in you, and glory, and ye glorified in in him. And then we come to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, reading from verses 1 and 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, it says, furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you. Look at this. By the Lord Jesus. You will see it is not only when it comes to walking, it says we should do this by the name of the Lord Jesus. It says everything we're commanding you, everything we're commending to you, it is by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received us, how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. The reason then why we're looking at this is so that by the grace of God, your life will bring glory to God. Our lives will please the Lord. And if we have been pleasing the Lord, as we look at this commandment of the Lord, we'll do it more and more. And the grace of God will continue to increase in our lives in Jesus' name. I thought the church will say amen. Amen. Tonight we're looking at the message, purposeful commitment to profitable work. Number one, you see, we're talking about work. Number two, we're talking about profitable work. There is work profitable, profitable for you, profitable for your health. When you are working in a place where your life is endangered, where your health is at risk, and where your family will not see you for many days, and where the work takes you away, that it scatters your family, it destroys your health, although you may get money there, but you do not have the ability or the chance to spend the money. Take yourself, for example, as a person, as a unit. You are the one going to work, and you go and you come and you go and come. Let's say, for example, you are able to gain 1 million naira or 1 million units of your own, of your currency. 1 million pounds, $1 million, 1 million, whatever is the currency in your country. 1 million. That 1000000 means 6 zeros at the back of that one. That means that you are the one, you are the integral part there, and you are able to gain 1 million naira, $1 million, 1 million, whatever. Now, if your health is endangered, if your family is scattered, if everything you do so tells on you that you are scattered, you are destroyed, you are weighed down, you are the number one. If you take that one out of that 1 million, remove that one, all that you have left will be 000000, which means everything is zero. That means that work is not profitable. It destroys you. It takes the man away. It cuts him down. It separates him from his family. It endangers his health. And the man is totally destroyed. The $1 million, who is going to spend that? Everything for you will be zero when you are buried and you die before your time. Therefore, the work we're talking about is profitable work. And then we're talking about commitment. Commitment means that you have a vision. Commitment means that you have a drive. Commitment means that you want to earn something. Commitment means that you are purposeful and you want to earn something, and you want to do the work that is going to profit you, is going to profit your family, is going to profit your children, is going to profit your community, is going to leave the world here in which you are, it will leave it better that you found the world when you came. That's profitable. But if you're doing any work that doesn't contribute anything to anybody, doesn't contribute to your life, doesn't benefit your family, doesn't benefit your children, there's no profit there. Therefore, the thing we're talking about is that you are committed, you are devoted, you are diligent, and you are given to something that is profitable, and then it's purposeful. You're going to work. What are you going to work? Well, everybody is working. They say idleness is not good, and therefore I'm just going to work. No, there must be a purpose. There must be a destination. There must be a goal. There must be a reason. There must be a foundation to doing what you're doing. If the purpose is not there, if you are just, well, that's how society is. That's how society is built. They work, therefore I have to work. I'm doing this particular work. What are you intending to get there or gain there? I don't know. I'm just working. That's not good. There must be purposeful commitment to a work that is profitable. That's why tonight we're looking at this purposeful commitment to profitable work. There are three things we're looking at. Number one, God-given appointed work for every man on earth. God-given appointed work. When God created us, he actually created us with brain, with skill, with mind, and with a kind of a leaning tendency. That's why you'll find it's easy for some people to repair things when those things break down. That's why you'll find it's profitable. Some people enjoy running and they enjoy walking. That's why you'll find some people, they just enjoy digging and searching for something. That's why you'll find some people enjoy teaching and explaining to other people. Some people, they enjoy communication. Some people just have the passion and the interest to keep other people healthy and just to see people well. Some people get into hospitality. Everyone has a peculiarity, and you look at your peculiarity, you say, this is what I love doing. I do it with ease, and if I go for training, if I go for education, I even do it better and I enjoy working. It's not like, well, I'm just a dragging myself to work. I don't enjoy the work I'm doing, but because man must eat, that's why I'm doing it. You enjoy what you're doing because God has given an appointed work, an appointed skill, an appointed leaning, an appointed tendency to every man on earth. Number one, then, God-given appointed work for every man on earth. Number two, God-guided, approved workmanship and manner of engagement. There's a way we work, and there are styles of working, and there are manners of working that will contribute to your making progress in the scene you're doing. That you will know that from year to year, you're moving on, and you're moving on easily, and you're moving forward, and you're moving up, because there is an approved way of workmanship, and there is the manner and the method in which we're engaged in the employment we find ourselves. God guided, approved workmanship and manner of engagement. Point number three is God glorifying apportioned work. God glorifying apportioned work and measure without excesses. Without excesses. You've heard of some people, they call them workaholics, and they take pride in that. They say, you know, while I'm at work, while I'm working, I forget everything. I forget to eat, I forget rest, I forget whatever, and I can keep on working like that. It can keep on working until it drops down dead. He can keep working and not check his health and not look at medical things. He can keep on working, but you know, he's working outside an estate. Is working outside his territory. Is working in excess of the way he ought to work. And because of that, the work will not profit him eventually. But when we glorify God in the apportioned work, the work allocated to us, the work apportioned unto us, and in the measure we ought to work without excesses, that benefits everyone. It keeps your blood running, it keeps you in circulation, it keeps you healthy, it keeps you mighty and powerful. It's like a tonic inside you. The more you walk within your measure, within your gauge, and within your territory, the more you become stronger, and then you'll actually have a fulfilled life. Let's look briefly at those things one by one. Number one is God giving appointed work for every man on earth. There are three things we're looking at here. Number one is divine command to work and eat. To work and to eat is a divine commandment. Number two, daily commitment to work as expected. Daily commitment to work as expected. Number three is demanded commencement of work without excuses, without making excuses. The condition of the country, and the condition of the financial state around, and the kind of salary they are paying them, and the kind of thing that's available and what's not available, giving excuses. There is a demanded commencement of work, that you will rise up and then you take the bull by the horn and you get up and you start doing something. Let's look at number one. That's divine command to work and eat. We're looking at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 verse 6. It says now, look at that word now. We command you. The word of God is always fresh. The word of God is saying you cannot hear this and just shake it off. Now at this time, now this present day, are you employed? Are you engaged? Are you enlisted? Are you doing something? Are you just waiting for the apple to fall in your mouth? Or are you reaching out and finding where that apple is, where that pawpaw tree is, and then doing something to pluck it and bring it down so you can eat? It says now we command you, brethren. That we're brethren doesn't mean that all we think about is salvation and holiness and heaven. Before we get to heaven, we need to keep the body and the spirit together so that our lives will be profitable here on earth. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, if we're not going to bring the name of the Lord into disrepute, if we're not going to pull the name of the Lord into the mud, here is the commandment we need to think about, and we need to do something about it. It says that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, not after the tradition. That means not after the teaching. That means not after the revelation. That means not after the admonition we have given you. That means not after the doctrine. They are not walking after the teaching, after the revelation, after the admonition, after the exhortation, after the doctrine that we have given you, that he has received of us. And then he tells us in verse 10, it says that for even when we were with you physically, when we were with you, this we commanded you. How is it some people have not obeyed that? How is it some people are still walking disorderly? You will remember that when we were with you, this particular thing we commanded you, that if any man would not work, if any man would live on charity, if any man will be going around knocking on doors and begging, if any man will be loafing, if any man will be idle, if any man will not work, he has enough strength to walk about knocking on doors, he has enough intelligence to know whose house to knock at, and he has enough kind of energy to keep going from house to house as a tattler, as a busybody, as a talkative, begging and asking, can you give me something there? But he will not work. He's misusing his strength. He's misusing his time. He's misusing his knowledge of knowing where the brothers and the sisters and the families are. And he will not work. If any man would not work, neither should he eat. And then he tells us in verse 12, it says, now them that are such, now at this time, I told you at that time when I was with you. Now I'm telling them that such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work. With quietness they work. There ought to be a change of lifestyle. They have been going about and talking and talking. Now they need to keep quiet. They have been going about and they are the noise makers in society. Now with quietness, they have been going about and they are the complainers. I go to the house of so and so. They didn't even open to me at this time. I shouted from the door, I am hungry. There is nothing to eat. And with all my pleading, they didn't open the door. Now they need to be quiet. Instead of looking up to other people and being a beggar, becoming like they are moving from being a private beggar to a professional beggar. They are now trying to improve on their way of begging, on how to convince those other people, how they will support them. What if those people did not go to work? How will they be able to support you? It says, don't allow them to move from being a private beggar to a professional beggar. With quietness, now they work and eat their own bread, their own bread. That's the commandment we have been given from Genesis chapter 2 and Genesis chapter 3. And now he tells us in Ecclesiastes chapter 9. In Ecclesiastes chapter 9, looking at verse 10, it tells us very clearly, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do. You see, the complaints of some people is, well, I want to work, but look at my condition. I'm a graduate, and yet as a graduate, I cannot find the work that's appropriate for my training, for my profession, and that's why I'm not doing anything. It says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, look around and see graduates like yourself. Look around and see certificate holders like yourself. Look around and see professional people like yourself. Look at them in our community. Even those who do not know Christ, they're working and they're bringing something back to the family. Don't tell us you're a graduate, you're a professional person, and you have not found appropriate work. That's why I'm not doing something whatsoever, whatsoever. It might be a little thing, it might be a common thing, but let it be whatsoever. It may be something you are not familiar with before, whatsoever. It might be something you need to learn a little. You know, these are the days of computer science, of ICT. You might have to take some weeks of studies on how to do this, how to do this on the computer, and then you might be able to get employment if you have that additional skill in ICT. And so, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. Don't do it grumbling. Have you noticed if you are grumbling inside you, it weakens you? I could show you experiments, even that we can do locally here, but we don't have time for that. That when you are murmuring, when you are sad, when you are hopeless, when you are giving up and all that, your muscles are weakened, your mind is weakened, and your brain is blocked, and you will not be excited as to living, and you will not have the focus and the strength. But when you are positive, when you say, Lord, I thank you, this is where I'm starting, and I found this one, and I'm going to do this, and when I do it, I know it's going to bring something, and I'm excited about the opportunity of doing this. That's how you get on. But if you're saying, look at all I have and look at what I can do now, whatsoever your hand finds to do. There are people that don't want to work with their hands. They think it's degrading, and they think it's the work of a slave, it's the work of a servant, it's the work of lowly people, it's the work of those who have not gone to university to work with their hand. But me, I'm waiting with from when I can work with, you know, my brain, my intelligence, and I can work with those high-level technical things. Use your hand, start there. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it of thy might, for there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. Look at those words there. Number one, knowledge. Number two, wisdom. If you're going to do something, and you're going to do it with all your intelligence and all your mind and all your skill, and you're going to do it kind of profitably, you must have knowledge of that thing. How do the people who have been doing this work, and they're profiting by this work, and they're progressing by this work, how do they do that? Get some knowledge, and then the wisdom to be able to take what they have given you and improve on that, so that you can do a work that will generate something for you. I pray that that generator, spiritually, mentally, morally, and physically, the Lord will plant in every one of us in Jesus' name. And you will generate something. Something good. Something powerful. Something profitable. It will happen to our lives in Jesus' name. Remember, this is the only time you can walk. After the grave, after death, there's no chance again to do any other thing. Now at this time of opportunity and privilege, I will walk. God bless you. Say that again. Now, we're not working only to earn money. The Lord has created us in such a way that we must work. That's why you find children. We say the children are restless. No, they are not restless. They have to expend energy. The energy is there. And because the energy is there and they are not employed somewhere, they have to employ that energy and they have to use that energy. The same thing with those who are adults. Sometimes they say you retire. If you retire from your place of work and you are not doing anything, research has shown that those who retire and they totally retire to their houses, they die earlier than other people who have retired from office work, government work, and then they find something doing and they keep running and the blood keeps circulating and the brain is working. But if you, what you don't use, you lose. If you don't use your brain, you don't use your mind, you don't use your hands, you don't use your feet, you don't use the different parts of your body, I'm retired. What you don't use, you are going to lose. The brain will die sooner, and the blood vessels will pack up sooner, and your body will start responding to life, and it's like you'll be faster going to the grave. That's why, even if you're not working for money, keep on working, you know, so that you'll keep alive for a longer time and you'll be more useful to us, to the people of God, while you're still on earth in Jesus' name. And look at the second thing there. The second thing there is daily commitment to work as expected. Daily, we must be committed to working daily. Look at Psalm 104. I'm looking at verse 23. Psalm 104, we're looking at verse 23. It tells us in Psalm 104, verse 23, man goeth forth unto his work and to his labor until the evening. You see, that's every day. Man goeth. He comes back in the evening. Man goeth, and he comes back in the evening. There must be something you will do from the morning. There must be a task you ought to finish from the morning. There must be a kind of employment, whether it is self-employment or you're employed by other people, or you see other people who are working. You know, sometimes when there's no work and somebody is working, and then you move around and you open your eyes and you can approach somebody. I'm not sure you need any other hand here. I believe you're doing a lot here, but you know, I'm at home, I'm not doing anything. can I come here and just be of help? I'm not asking you to pay me. I just want to be active. I just want to be doing something. And then you come there, they might call you volunteer, they might call you whatever, and then you are there, you have a place, you get up in the morning, and then you are going there, and you do it with all your strength, you do it with all your skill and all your ability, and the people there, the manager, director there, will soon realize, we need this man. I think we need to bring this man on a payroll. You can get work like that by just volunteering. Do something so that man will go from his house to his work and will labor every day until the evening. Man going. Let somebody say, I go.
I go
forth unto my work and to my labor. Until the evening. You are going to say that again. 1, 2, 3, go. We must say it in unison. 1, 2, 3,
go.
The Lord confirm it in Jesus' name. You know, sometimes while you are going like that, the Lord can produce the job for you, and the Lord will do it for you in Jesus' name. I heard of, you know, a particular company. They had a lot of goods they were selling, but the condition of things were completely down, and they were not selling at all. And so all the office workers and all the people, they sat at their desk. They said, nothing is moving. The economy is bad. We cannot do this. We cannot do that. And one of the ladies there just got an inspiration within and said, why am I just sitting down here? Let me go to the restaurant this afternoon and go and take my lunch there. And so she went for lunch. And when she was coming back in the lead, she met somebody on the lead and said, good afternoon, sir. I am so and so. And the other fellow said, good afternoon, I'm such and such. And the other fellow said, what do you do? What work do you do? And he said, I work in this particular company and we distribute this, this, and this. What? That's what you'll be looking for. We've been searching everywhere on the net, finding the people that distribute something like this. Oh, and the fellow said, we can distribute as much as you need. And then she was invited to the office of that man, and he looked at all their various things, and that's how they signed the deal, and they closed the deal, and millions came out to that company because somebody took initiative. Instead of my just sitting down there and lying down there and saying money will not come and job will not come, a job will not come to you, you go to that job, you'll get that job.
Yeah.
If the employment will not come, don't just sit down there, rise up and keep on walking. And while you are walking, the appropriate job will get to you in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
But man must go forth and go to his labor every day and come in the evening. Look at verse 24 there. In verse 24, O Lord, how manifold are thy works. In wisdom hast thou made them all. The earth is full of thy riches. The earth is still full today. Whatever the condition of the different parts of the earth is still full today. And part of that fullness will flow to you in Jesus' name. But look at Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 49. Ezekiel chapter 16, reading from verse 49. Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom: pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness was in her. Pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness was in her. That was the problem of Sodom. And if somebody will not work, and you know, brothers and sisters are concerned, and they said, brother, this is available in a place of work. What kind of work is that? I can't do that. I'm beyond that. That's beneath my dignity. That's pride. and then eventually fullness of bread. After all, you know, I still have enough bread, and somebody is feeding me, and they have not said they are tired, and our church is a good church, and they have a program, a plan of charity, and they always give us this, and since I have that, I will not do any job underneath or beneath my dignity, pride, and fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness. And Satan finds work for idle hands. I will not be idle. I said I will not be idle. And then it says it was in her and in her daughters, neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. And then in verse 50, and they were haughty, and they committed abomination before me, therefore I took them away as I saw good. Let's come to number three there. Number three is the demanded commencement of work without excuses. Start without excuses. In Ephesians chapter 4, reading from verse 28. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28. Let him that stole steal no more. Let him that stole steal no more. But rather, let him labor. Let him labor. Whatever you have to do, you have to determine, my life must change. The direction of my life must change. I must not remain like I used to do, but rather let him labor, working with his hands. If that's all where you can start, working with his hands, the thing which is good, not the thing which is evil. You're not going to sell alcohol, the thing which is good. You're not going to sell cigarette, the thing which is good. You're not going to sell marijuana, cannabis, the thing which is good. You're not going to join the people who walk in the night. I mean, those who go to other people's property and they take the cover of the night to go and steal there. Let him do the thing that is good. You're not going to betray your brother or betray your sister. You're not going to destroy the lives of other people so that you can get what belongs to them. That's not good. Let him walk with his hand the sin that is good. You're not going to be writing things against other people. You're not going to be employed by those who want to kill others. It says, let him do the work that is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. You will work. The Lord will prosper your work. The Lord will provide for you. And then you will have enough for yourself. You know, I told you before, the louder your amen, the greater the blessing. And then you will have enough, and you'll have to give to other people in Jesus' name. Blessing upon everyone tonight. And then that blessing will flow from you and flow to other people in Jesus' name. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 11. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we're looking at verse 11 here. And that he study to be quiet, and that he study, that he endeavor to be quiet. You know, talking, it becomes a habit. Going a particular way becomes a habit. Sleeping and lying down all the time becomes a habit. Laziness and not working becomes a habit. Now you are going to study to have a change. Study to be transformed. You are going to say no to yourself. That tendency that wants to lie down all the time, you are going to say no. That tendency to sit in the same place all through the day without doing anything, only daydreaming. You are going to study, and you are going to endeavor to do something and change that in your life. That thing that comes to you at a particular time of the day, to get up and go to the house of so and so, maybe they'll be eating now, that thing has to stop. You have to study, and you have to endeavor, and you have to say, this will not happen. I'm better than this. I'm higher than this. I'm greater than this. This should not be my life. I was not like this when I was a little child. When I was a little child and they were saying, what are you going to become in life? I said, I'll be this, I'll be this, I'll be this, I'll be that. Until somebody said, no, you cannot. No, you cannot. And I took what they said, you cannot, you cannot, you cannot. I internalized that. I said, I cannot, I cannot. And even when I read the Bible that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, that I cannot, that I internalize from what they told me, you cannot, that has become the pattern of my life. Today, I'm going to rise up. I'm going to become a different person. Somebody there, I'm going to become a different person. And that is told me to be quiet and to do your own business. Your own business. Look at all the businesses in the world. Somebody started that business. Look at all those clinics. Somebody started that clinic. Look at that primary school there, kindergarten there. Somebody started that school. And look at that college there. Somebody started that thing. And look at that institution. Somebody started that institution. Look at that grocery store there. Somebody started that store there. Look at that distribution line there. Somebody started that distribution line there. Your own business. You will possess something. And to work with your own hands as we commanded you. Blessing has come. Heavens will open for you. And you'll be blessed and you'll be a blessing to other people in Jesus' name. We're coming to point number two now. Point number two now. God guided, approved workmanship and manner of engagement. We're coming to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, and we're looking at verse 7. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 verse 7, for yourselves know how ye ought to follow us, for we behave not ourselves disorderly among you. Look at verse 8. In verse 8, neither did we eat any man's bread for naught. Neither did we eat any man's bread for naught. Have you noticed that when you eat other people's bread, it's what they have, they give. And what they give, whether it is balanced diet or not, you have to take. Whether it is nourishing to your body or not, you have to take. Whether it complies with your state of health or not, you have to take. After all, you cannot dictate to them. It's their food. And you happen to just be benefiting from them, and they call you a parasite. You're just leaning on them. And whatever is available, that's the handover, and that is the leftover that you take. But now it says that neither you will eat any man's bread for naught, but with the wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you. You know what the apostle is saying? The apostle said, we're apostles, we have authority. I could have asked any of you Thessalonians, give me this and give me that, and you will joyfully do that. But we didn't want to appear that we're selling apostleship. We didn't want to appear we're selling our service. We didn't want to appear that we pray for you, you got healed, and then your prayer warrior needs food. What are you doing? Won't you give me something? We preach to you, and now by exhorting you and helping you, look at where you are now. Wouldn't you remember me and you give me something? Paul the apostle said no. He said, whatever we do as unto the Lord. And we're not going to ask you for anything, but we traveled night and day so that we will not be chargeable to any of you. And then he tells us in verse 9, not because we have not power, not because we have not the right, not because we do not have the authority, but to make ourselves an example, to make ourselves an example. We tell other people to get saved, we're saved. We tell other people to get sanctified, we're sanctified. We tell other people to seek the power of God and be baptized in the Holy Ghost, we're baptized in the Holy Ghost. We tell other people to evangelize, and we are running the race, we're evangelizing. We tell other people to work and to earn and to eat their own bread, and we walk and we earn our own living for an example for you to follow. I pray you'll be a good example. Look at three things. Number one, the boundless privilege of walking with earnestness. The boundless privilege of walking with earnestness. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 22. In Proverbs chapter 22 verse 29, Proverbs 22 verse 29 says, thou a man diligent in his business, is not diligent in other people's business, is not a busybody, is not roaming about. What are you doing there? What are you doing there? He goes to the place of work. He stays in that place of work. Last night, the previous night, he said, by the time I go to work tomorrow morning, I want to see this accomplished and this accomplished and this accomplished. That's diligence. By the time I go to work tomorrow morning, these are the things that are important. A, B, C. I start from the most difficult and the most essential. I get that done before I go to the easy task. In the morning, while my brain is fresh, in the morning while I have my energy, I am going to do this. That's being diligent. Yes, thou a man diligent in his business. He looks at the business, he looks at the work, and he says, in 1 month's time, this my goal. In 6 months' time, this my goal. In 1 year time, this is my goal. And then he divides that goal into portions, and he says, in a quarter I'll reach that, another quarter I will reach that. And he's taking inventory, he's looking at what he's doing day by day to make sure that I am going in the line of my proposal. A man like that, says thou a man diligent in his business, he shall stand before kings. That is, he'll stand in the presence of kings. He'll be invited before kings. I hear that you are doing this kind of work, can you do it for us? I hear that you are knowledgeable, you are skillful in this area, can you give us a helping hand? I hear that you know how to do this kind of business, and we're looking for somebody who is faithful, somebody who is hardworking, somebody who is diligent, and somebody who is a proof producer. Proof producer. You can produce fruit, and you can produce the result of what you have. You will stand before kings. It shall not stand before mean men. I pray that will be your label. That will be your identity. But look at New Testament now. We're looking at Romans chapter 12, and we're reading from verse 11. Romans chapter 12, verse 11. Be not slothful in business. Don't be the person that every time we come to your office, your head is on the table, and then we have to knock hard. Brother so-and-so, are you sleeping? Well, that's life. I don't know how my body is. Your body is responding to laziness. Your body is responding to idleness. Be not slothful in business. That's why I told you the previous day, when you are closing the work for the day, you say, tomorrow when I come back to work, I'll get this done, I'll get this done, I'll get this done. And then when you get to work that morning, you say, this is what I propose to do. This is what I plan to do. And because that is what you plan to do, you begin to do it. And while you're busy, and your brain is working, and your mind is working, and your eyes are on the goal, you'll not put your head on the table and be sleeping. There is something to do, and it engages everything that is inside you, and you will succeed. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. You're serving the Lord with everything that you have. You leave that place of work after finishing from the place of work. like you are faithful in the office, you are also faithful in the work of the Lord. The same excitement and the same passion that you have in the secular work, you carry to the spiritual work, you will prosper. You must prosper. Whatever the devil wants to do to hinder you, it will not work in Jesus' name. Look, I want to show you something in Exodus chapter 1, and I'm reading from verse 11. Exodus chapter 1, we're looking at verse 11. Therefore, it says, they did appoint over them taskmasters in there, and they gave them bodies, and they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, and Python and Ramses. Look at verse 12. It says in verse 12, but the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. The more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. And they were grieved because of the children of Israel. Look at verse 11, verse 13. And the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor. I said I was going to show you something. You wonder, why is it the Lord allowed the children of Israel to go through hard labor? Hard labor. It was with rigor. It was with real difficulty. You know, number one, while they were building those buildings for the Egyptians, the Canaanites and the Hivites and the Jebusites were building the land of Canaan for them. While you are building for somebody else here in this lowly place of work, in this work that this is difficult, this is irksome, how can I be doing this? While you are doing that for them here, other people are building your mansions for you. The land of promise, the land that flows with milk and honey in another place, is being built for you in Jesus' name. Number two, you see those children of Israel in the building of all the things they were doing. That's how they learned the skill how to build. That's how they learned the skill how to do welding. That's how they learned the skill how to construct this and construct that. Now they came to the wilderness and they were to build a tabernacle. How did they learn how to build that tabernacle? When they were in Egypt, and then they were to mold all the Ark of the Covenant, and then to put gold around them. How did they learn how to melt the gold and put it around all the wood? They learned that in Egypt. And then when the Amalekites came, and then they wanted to wage war against them, and Joshua rose up and he chose those people and they defeated the Amalekites. How did they learn that? They learned all that when they were being oppressed and working in Egypt. Now, if you were to experiment and wake up one day and then be walking and walking and you're walking many kilometers, and then the following day you get up again and you're walking many kilometers, as long as the pillar of cloud and pillar of fire kept on moving, they kept on walking, and their feet did not swell and they didn't get tired, and somebody did not have a kind of heart attack saying, I cannot move on again. What did they get that strength of being persistent? What did they get the strength of walking and walking? They were prepared in Egypt. What God allowed them to do in their work in Egypt, it was a preparation of what will come in the future. Everything you are going through now, everything that is happening in that little place of work where you are, is a preparation ground for higher grounds. Somebody there is moving higher. Somebody there is going higher. You see, that's why we don't complain. That's why we don't say, why am I doing this? Why am I doing that? It's preparation ground, and the Lord will prepare you, and the Lord will make sure that all the skill you need to work earnestly, when you get to higher position, the Lord will confirm that in Jesus' name. Number two is the broad purpose for work beyond eating. The broad purpose for work beyond eating. If it's only to eat, I don't think we'll be working so much like we have to work. But I want you to look at Ecclesiastes chapter 5 verse 19. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, and we're looking at verse 19. It says, every man also to whom God has given riches and wealth, and has given him the power to eat thereof, and to take his portion, and to rejoice in his labor, this is the gift of God. When God gives you good work, and then you earn good money, good salary, and you also have appetite to eat, and you eat and it nourishes your body, that's not a little thing. It is the gift of God. But now, beyond eating, in 2 Kings chapter 4, we're looking at verse 7. 2 Kings chapter 4, and we're reading from verse 7. It says, then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil and pay thy debt, and leave thou and thy children of the rest. What you have, go sell. That's working. Selling is working. If you might have the oil, you don't keep it at home, but you are selling. You might have the commodity, and then you're looking in your community. In a community here, what are people running over there to the other side for, to go and buy? Provide it in your community. Check up, open your eyes, and see what they need in that community. And then you might have to go and buy a large measure, and then you now dole it out little by little, and then you are selling, you are working, you sell, and then you pay your debt. If there's any debt you owe, you owe your landlord, you owe some brethren you have borrowed money from, now you are getting a money, and you are apportioning everything. When you get the money, you don't just spend anyhow. You sit down and you calculate, I'm going to give a tenth compulsory to the work of the Lord. You pay your tithe, and then you give offering, and then this percentage, 20%, I'm going to shelve for another time, for rainy day, and then this percentage I'm going to pay debt, and this percentage I'm going to invest in this. It is as you do that, you'll be making progress, and you'll be spending in a frugal way, in a profitable way, in a way that will benefit you and benefit your family. I pray God will give you wisdom in Jesus' name. Look at Job chapter 29. We're reading from verse 15. Job chapter 29 verse 15. I was eyes to the blind. That's what you get when you've worked and you have earned some money, and you have something enough for you and then to spare. You become eyes to the blind, and you become feet to the lame. Well, that's what Job said. But somebody, you see that somebody is not able to read very well, he doesn't have money for a pair of glasses, you become a provider. I am eyes to the blind. You see that there's a student, he ought to has a good brain, but he cannot read well, and then I want to become eyes to the blind. You want to provide eyeglasses for them, and feet to the lame. They might, if somebody has been amputated and he needs the artificial leg so that she can walk or he can walk, I became feet to the lame. Or somebody that needs a walking stick to lean upon, I'm feet to the lame. Or in other ways, I want to make their lives complete. That's how we spend money, and that's the purpose why we're walking beyond just eating for ourselves. Look at verse 16 there. In verse 16, it says, I was a father to the poor. There are orphans there nearby, and there are people in need over there. I'm going to adopt that girl. I'm going to adopt that son. Not because already you have your own children, but you are adopting them to help them. That's broad purpose for work beyond eating. And the cause which I knew not, I searched out. Somebody is oppressed, somebody is downtrodden, and he doesn't have a way to defend himself or defend herself, and you become a person that is their mouthpiece, and you are helping them. That's why you have what you have in verse 17. It says, I break the jaws of the wicked. Those two are cruel over other people. You come in society because of your position, because of your possession, you are able to bring justice for them, and you pluck out the spoil out of his feet, out of his teeth. In Proverbs chapter 22 verse 6, Proverbs chapter 22 verse 6, train up a child in the way he should go. You are walking so that by the grace of God, your children will be trained. Your children will be educated. Not only educated in the secular education, which is good, which is necessary, but also in the way of the Lord. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. I pray the Lord will give us the real wisdom to earn money and to spend money in a way that will benefit people in our communities, in Jesus' name. Let's look at number three now. Number three is the believer's principle of walking without eye service. The believer's principle of walking without eye service. You know, work is for your own benefit. It's just like eating is for your own benefit. You don't eat, I don't eat with eye service. I'm going to please somebody, therefore I'm eating. No, I know that I need the food. My body needs the food. I don't sleep to please somebody. You're not sleeping with eye service. You're not eating with eye service. You don't take your bath with eye service. You take your bath. It's you that needs to take that bath. You don't breathe for eye service. You're not breathing because, brother, look at me, I'm breathing. Do you like that? And then he says, yes, keep on breathing. So when he's there, I keep on breathing. When he's not there to watch me, I'm not breathing. Nobody is looking at me. And since they're not watching me, why am I breathing? You're breathing for yourself. We don't breathe with eye service. We don't eat with eye service. We don't sleep with eye service. We don't take a bath with eye service. We don't shield ourselves from cold because of eye service. We don't remain healthy for eye service. All those things we do by ourselves and for ourselves. The same thing when you work, it is for your benefit. When you work, it is for your profit. When you work, is for your happiness. When you work, it is for your health. When you work, it is so that you will be somebody in life. You'll be somebody in Jesus' name. And so you are not working, you have a principle. I'm going to work whether they are watching me or not, whether they see me or not. I'm not doing it for eye service. I will do it because it needs to be done. You will do it profitably in Jesus' name. Look at Colossians chapter 3 verse 22. In Colossians chapter 3, we're looking at verse 22. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service, not with eye service, as men please us, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. In verse 23, it says, in verse 23, and whatsoever ye do, do it heartily. Do it sincerely. Do it passionately. Do it with all your strength. Do it with all your skill. Don't reserve your knowledge. Don't reserve your skill. Do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. In verse 24, it says, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance. For ye serve the Lord Christ. The Lord will reward you. The Lord will reward the work of your hand. You will prosper in Jesus' name. Let's come to point number three now. Point number three is God glorifying apportioned work and measure without excesses. Measure without excesses. I'm sure you've heard of people that maybe they're into sports and they know the condition of their body. They know that at this time now, instead of going on the field, they ought to go for either medical checkup or they need to just rest, because the way their heart is beating, it looks abnormal. It looks like they walk a little and they're panting as if they're going to give up, but they're so determined that they're going to still do what they're going to do. And then they get on the field, and while they're either playing the football or they're doing the hockey thing or they're doing the running or they're doing the marathon, whatever, they just drop down and their heart will not go along with them, and they just give up like that. They went into excess. That's why we're saying, yes, we walk, but we walk as it is apportioned. And we walk with a measure without going to excess. We come to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, and we're reading from verse 12. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 12. Now them that are such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work. When you are quiet, you concentrate. When you are quiet, you focus. When you are quiet, you are thoughtful. When you are quiet, you are systematic. But you know, if you are writing and talking, if you are doing something and looking here and there, and there is no focus, and there is no concentration, and there's no consistency, you will not produce the best you could produce. It's just like when our children go to the exam hall. In that exam hall, number one, the surrounding is quiet, and they themselves, they are quiet. It is in that quietness they're able to think, they're able to recollect what they have learned, they're able to understand the question paper they're reading, they're able to put the appropriate answer for the question. Because of that quietness and concentration and focus and consistency. The same thing, if you're doing an important work, even when you're working with machine, there are people that are working with machine, and because they understand the machinery, and with them, they have been doing that thing for a long time. When there is no quietness and concentration, some people have cut their fingers because of that. Some people have injured themselves, and will say it's accident in the place of work. All those accidents will be reduced if we can work with quietness, with concentration, with focus, and with consistency, and with skill, and with attention. Now them that are such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. I'll see the profit of work in your life in Jesus' name. And let's look at number one here. Number one is dedication. The dedication to experiential work before entry. The dedication to experiential work before entry. Look at John chapter 6, and we're reading from verse 27. John chapter 6, verse 27. Labor not for the meat which perisheth. That is, don't take all your time, all your life, all your skill, or labor which will perish. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life. Understand, we are spirit, soul, and body. The work we have been talking about is to eat and feed the physical body. But then we need to provide for our soul. We need to provide for our spirit. When eventually we die, or if Jesus comes before we die and is going to take us away, all these things we are not going to take away. When somebody dies, the body that he has been feeding will go to the grave, and the spirit and the soul will go to heaven, will go to the Lord. If that soul had not been provided for, not saved, not sanctified, not holy, not righteous, not godly, where will he spend eternity? That's why we need to dedicate ourselves to experiential work, the work of grace, salvation, the work of grace, sanctification. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him as God the Father sealed. Then in verse 28, and then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Look at that. What shall we do that we might work the works of Christ? In verse 29, Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God. This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he has sent. That's how we have eternal life. That's where we have spiritual life. That's how we have abundant life. That's where we have the life of God in us, that we believe on Christ whom the Father has sent. That is the beginning of the work of grace, before we can enter into the service of God, before we can enter into heaven. Dedication to experiential work before entry. And now number two here is the danger of excessive work beyond our estate. The danger of excessive work beyond our estate. The people that do their assigned work, their normal work, their apportioned work, and then they go into other people's territory to go and do this uninvited, and do this unapportioned, and do that. They think they can do it, and they just put their feet and their mouth and their eyes and their bodies anywhere, and they throw their weight everywhere. We don't do that. There's danger of excessive work beyond our estate. Look at the Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 6. Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 6. Look not upon me because I am black, because the sun has looked upon me. My mother's children were angry with me. They made me the keeper of the vineyards, but my own vineyard have I not kept. They made me the keeper of vineyards, but my own vineyard have I not kept. I read about a man that was working, and when the bus, you're about to close, and then the bus comes and says, Mr. So-and-so, can you please add this to your work before you go? The man did not know how to say no. He'll say, yes, I will. And then they might give him an extra amount of money because of overtime. And then all the others, the following day, the bus will go to other people, and the boss will say, Mrs. So-and-so, can you please do this? And so, the woman will politely reply, My boss, I would really want, I would want to have done that. I would have wanted to do that, but I have an appointment and it is something I cannot shift just immediately now. And then they eventually go to this same man, can you do this? Yes, I will. And then he does that again. And he kept on, no fellowship in the family and no playing or any interaction with his children. And the wife felt abandoned and neglected. He did that consistently for about 3 years. One day he came home, he found that the wife had packed out and had taken her property and had taken the children, and then looking for the wife, and now he abandoned the work searching for the wife. Why is it this? Well, we're not important, and we're nobody in your life, and we're just there, we're like tenants living in the same house together. The man did not understand the measure of work, how he needed to apportion the work and do the one apportioned to him without going to excesses. They made me a keeper of vineyards, but my own family, my own vineyard, my own health and my own joy and my own pleasure and my own happiness have I not catered for. Don't be a person like that. What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and he loses his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? In Jude chapter 1, we're looking at verse 6. Jude chapter 1, we're reading from verse 6. It says, and the angels which kept not their first estate. God created those angels and he apportioned their assignment unto them. You will do this, you will do this. And Lucifer was an angel, a chief angel, an archangel. And the Lord apportioned to him what he will do. But he said, I will go beyond the stars of heaven. I will go beyond the Most High. He went beyond his estate. And because he went beyond his estate, and all the other angels, look at this, and the angels which kept not their first estate, but let their own habitation, let their own assignment, let their own work, let their own duty. He has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto judgment of the great day. I pray that will not happen to you in Jesus' name. Number three now is the demand for the elevated work for eternity. The demand for the elevated work for eternity. God has given us something to do, and we're to labor for eternity, getting other people saved, getting people restored, edifying the church, lifting up the fallen, helping those who are discouraged, and counseling those who are confused, and discipling those who are babes in Christ. The demand for the elevated work for eternity. In Mark chapter 13, reading from verse 34. Mark chapter 13, verse 34. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house, and he gave authority to his servants, and to every man his work, and to every brother his work, and to every sister his her work. And to you, my brother, my sister, he has given you the work of evangelism, the work in that house fellowship, and the work of reaching out to souls, and the work of counseling, and the work of praying for the sick, and the work of helping those who are confused, and the work of caring for those who need your care. He has given every man his work, and he commanded the potter to work. The Lord is coming, and the Lord has given to our hands, and the Lord has committed to us the work that he will reward in eternity. And I'm looking at you, your reward is waiting for you. Your work, secular work, you will do it well, and you'll be promoted, and you will have enough and to spare in Jesus' name. And the work here on earth that you are going to do to souls, to bring them into the kingdom and make them abide in the kingdom, the skill, the knowledge, the grace, the strength, the Lord will give unto you in Jesus' name. You will not meet the Lord empty-handed. Where am I? Where are you? You will not meet the Lord empty-handed. The Lord will reward you on that final day in Jesus' name. We've had a lot today. Let's take everything to the Lord in prayer and say, Lord, I've heard your word. You have opened my eyes, and I'm going to be what you want me to be. I'm going to do what you want me to do. And the work, my secular work, the spiritual work, everything will prosper, and joy will be in my life, and provision and promotion, everything will be in your life in Jesus' name. Open your mouth and talk to the Lord in prayer.